Dorothy Medford tells this story of one day going out and purchasing this potted gardenia to put in her living room. I had no idea what a gardenia was, so I had to look that up. And it's, for those of you that don't know like me, it's a plant that produces this beautiful flower, but it's famous for having this beautiful scent about it as well. And she faithfully watered it and fertilized it, and it developed these rich green leaves, and it would bud. But every time these buds would begin to flower, they would die over and over again. And for 6 weeks, she tended this plant over and over again, carefully watering it and fertilizing, and it would bud. But every single time, they would die. Nothing would happen. And at one point, she gets disgusted with the whole thing, and she puts this plant outside. And she regrets putting all the time, the energy, and the money into this plant. Well, about the same time in her life, she's also having some personal problems. Someone in her family gets very, very sick. She starts having these financial issues, and one of her best friends and she have a terrible disagreement which keeps her up at night. And more, as she tries to take care of all of this, the worse things got. So she gets very discouraged and very, very depressed, and she starts pitying herself. And one day, whenever things were the lowest for her, she decides she's going to do the laundry. She says, at least I can do the laundry without screwing that up. So she goes to do the laundry. She closes the door behind her and begins to walk downstairs. And all of a sudden, there's this scent, this aroma in fills the air. And she turns and she's amazed by what she sees. And there is this gardenia that she had worked so hard upon that she had put outside, and it bloomed in this beautiful white flower. All the work, all the energy she put into this thing wasn't enough. What it needed more than anything was to be fully exposed to the sun. And all of a sudden, she has this moment of grace, and it strikes her, that's what grace is like. Her life is like that gardenia. All the hard work she's putting in to solve all these problems in her life wasn't enough. Something was missing. Something else had to be part of it. And it just dawned on her that she needed God in her life exactly the same way that gardenia needed the sun in its life. And I'm hoping that little story helps you to grasp in some small way what's going on in the gospel today. The disciple Peter and his buddies are out there fishing, and they caught absolutely nothing, working hard at it all night long. And they're fishing, and they're good at it, but something's missing. All their hard work wasn't enough. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus, and everything changes. In the same way that gardenia needed the sun, in the same way Dorothy realized she needed God in her life, they begin to find the thing that's going to solve their problems. They find the missing ingredient in their lives. It's the power of God working through all this hard work that they desperately needed for this final catch of fish. And then Peter does something that I'm thinking that probably most of us would probably do too. He kneels down in front of Jesus and he says, "Leave me, Lord," from a sinful guy, because he was amazed at this catch of fish. And he should have been amazed. It was an amazing thing that happened. It should have shook him up a little bit. The same way in Isaiah, the first reading, he has this remarkable experience of God, and he says, "I'm doomed. Woe is me. I'm an unclean guy, hanging out with all these other unclean people. I'm kind of a mess here in all of this." And so like Peter and like Isaiah, for a lot of different reasons, you and I have this inferiority complex. Most especially, I think, when it comes to God. But most of us, and maybe I'll even say maybe all of us, on some level, don't even really like ourselves. We have an inferiority complex about ourselves. And we wonder, do I really belong? Would people really accept me if they really knew me? Does God really accept me and love me without condition? Henry Nouwen, the great spiritual writer, one time said that the greatest impediment to the spiritual life is self-rejection. You and I are like, how could God possibly care for someone like me? Leave me, Lord. Thinking about our message series and the whole idea of you having a mission in life, how could someone like me have a mission, have a plan for my life? Leave me, Lord. That stuff's for people like Peter and Isaiah and Jeremiah, but not for someone like me. We wonder sometimes if God even likes us, let alone loves us. And I want to share something with you that Thomas Merton wrote about that. It's very important. And I want you to listen very carefully to this. And he writes this: the root of Christian love, and this is very important because I think we have this all backwards. The root of Christian love is not the will to love. It's not that you love, but the belief that one is loved by God, irrespective of your worth. In the true Christian view of God's love, the idea of worthiness loses its significance. It's not important. The revelation of God's love makes the problem of worthiness almost laughable. No one could be worthy to be loved with such a love. And such a realization is a true liberation of the Spirit. That you know the most important thing is that you love anybody, but that you're loved first. And when you grasp that, all of a sudden this all begins to change. So the story of Dorothy and Isaiah and Peter are all pretty much saying the same thing. You and I desperately need God's action in our lives. You and I desperately need to grasp God's purpose in mission for our lives. And worthiness doesn't matter. It isn't an issue. It is not part of this equation at all. Now, I will say this. You got to work hard at things. You just can't sit there and wait for God to do it. Somehow we have to get in the game. We have to do things and then allow God's action to meet our action. And then all of a sudden, some remarkable things can begin to happen for us. Itzhak Denison, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Out of Africa, which actually was a book. And he one time said, there are three times when you and I find happiness in our lives. When we have a surplus of energy, when the pain ends, and when we are certain that we are doing God's will in our lives. I haven't had a surplus of energy in years. I don't know about you guys. That's for these young folks sitting over there. They have a surplus of energy, not me. The pain ends every once in a while. But to know for certain that you're doing God's will, all of us can know that. All of us can know that kind of happiness. It is a kind of happiness that happens in everyday life through all the different struggles and the difficulties. And Peter and Isaiah and Dorothy, all of them overcame their false humility, overcame their self-contempt, and begin to follow God, and they all found this happiness that is open for every single one of us. I don't care what your age is, it's open for you. Now, there might be a bunch of folks here who are saying something like, you know, I've been hard at it all night long. Or maybe you're saying something like, I've been hard at it all my life long in some way. What Jesus might just be saying to you right now, why don't you put out into the deep? Let's get out of the shallow end of the pool. Let's get out there into the deep a little bit and cast your net. And let's see what happens this time. And let me close with a little quote from, it's attributed to Nelson Mandela. I have shared this with you before, but I couldn't resist. It's a different take on all of this for us. And he writes this: our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Exact opposite of what I just said, in a way. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. Your playing small does not serve anybody. It does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We all are meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just for some of us. It's for all of us. And as we let our own light shine, as we let down our nets, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fears, our presence automatically liberates them from theirs. Amen.